David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. Today, I'm so excited because we have a very special guest today. We have Mark Mears, and he is a number one best-selling author, and he specializes in legacy building and bringing back the human into human resources. He is an amazing person. He has such great knowledge in this area, and he's going to share with us some great things today that is just going to blow your mind. So open your ears and listen carefully because he has a lot to say, and it's well worth the listen. So Mark, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Well, thanks, Stacy. First of all, I want to thank you for being on or having me on to have a great discussion with you today. As you mentioned, I'm Mark Mears, and I wrote a book called The Purposeful Growth Revolution, Four Ways to Grow from Leader to Legacy Builder. And it's a book about, as you can imagine, purposeful growth. And it came to me as an epiphany now almost 10 years ago. I was the president and CEO of a $500 million casual dining restaurant chain based in Orange County, California. And we had 145 units in 24 states, and we were owned by a publicly traded entity in Ohio. And I was recruited to take on this role when I served as senior VP of marketing for the Cheesecake Factory. And the task was three things: turn the brand around from double-digit negative sales, put a new concept in the ground that can, earn the right to capital to grow, and then update and contemporize the brand because it had gotten a little long in the tooth. So built the team, did all that. And 2 years later, I got a call from the CEO saying, hey, the board's decided to move in a different direction. We're going to put the brand up for sale instead of giving you the capital that we promised when we recruited you.
Oh, wow.
But don't worry, you and your whole team, I mean, you guys are doing a wonderful job. I'm sure that your new owner will keep you on and you'll have now the rightful owner that you should have. And so we're cautiously optimistic. We're going through the whole sale process and we thought we found our rightful owner. And several months later, the deal closed on a Friday. And on Monday morning, I'm supposed to have a meeting at 8 o'clock with the new CEO of this entity to plan our future together.
Yeah.
At 8:05, I'm out the door. We've decided to move in a different direction. I'm like, what, over the weekend? So I got my first real hard lesson in corporate America. And it's not personal. It's just business. Well, it's very personal to me. So I remember driving home, calling my then wife and saying, so that just happened. The next morning, and this is February 21st, I want to say 2013, so just over 10 years ago now, and that's about the time that the first signs of spring start to emerge, and certainly not everywhere, but in Southern California, that's what we start seeing. And so after a fitful night of sleep, I take the dog out back, and as God is my witness, Stacy, as the sun was coming up over this wall, in our backyard, we had a fig tree that was barren from the 5 or 6 or 7 weeks of winter that we do get. But there on the end of one branch was this tiny little green sprig of a leaf just starting to bud. And it was in that moment that I got this epiphany that a leaf is a symbol of growth and rebirth. And I got to thinking, well, yeah, I remember from high school science, all growth in a plant or a tree comes through the leaf, through the magic of photosynthesis. So I took the dog inside and went into my office. I kind of got on my computer, started banging out a treatment of leaf as a symbol of growth and rebirth. Then I got to thinking about what just happened. And I used to subscribe to the rule of threes. It's a thing. And it basically says, if you focus on three things and keep, after it, you're going to be more successful, more productive. So my three things in leading that turnaround were leadership, engagement, and accountability. And I used it in every one of my weekly emails. We actually did broadcast voicemails back in the day. And I used it in recognition and reward. I'd say, Stacy's really demonstrating great leadership. look at the results she's getting with their team, or she's engaging them on a deeper level and look what they're doing. And she's holding her team accountable, and we all need accountability because we're part of a publicly traded company.
Right.
We need to be accountable to not only our shareholders, but also our customers, our team members in our restaurants, and our people in the corporate office, right? So leadership, engagement, accountability. And then I got to thinking, man, we were burning the candle at both ends. We were, you know, thinking this is going to be the turnaround for the ages we would all be so proud of. And it was until the rug got pulled out from underneath, not just myself, but my whole team. And six Oh, wow. months later, they actually moved the corporate office from Orange County to their U.S. headquarters in Dallas. Everything they said they weren't going to do, they did.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
So this is like the darkest morning after in my life.
Yeah.
And then I get this thought, you know what was missing? Fulfillment. And then I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. Leadership, engagement, accountability. We absolutely need those things. But what we also need to do is create an environment that's more fulfilling. And that became an acronym for LEAF. Where all growth happens, and as a symbol of growth and rebirth. So I got to playing with this four-circle Venn diagram model with leadership, engagement, accountability, and fulfillment. And in the middle of it was purposeful growth. And so this idea of the purposeful growth revolution came about, and this notion of putting the human back in human resources is something that I feel strongly about, especially in this day of, you know, AI and robotics and automations and machine learning and augmented reality and all that kind of stuff. We need to treat people more as human beings as opposed to merely resources.
Yeah.
And so this idea came to me, and now it's what I'm doing as a speaker, an author, and a consultant with my own company called LEAP Growth Ventures, which inspires individuals, teams, and organizations to find purpose in fulfilling their true growth potential, but in doing so, help make a positive, lasting difference in the world. That's the notion of scattering your seeds. And so the whole model is based on leadership representing the seed and roots. Like any organization, you have to have a strong root system. Same thing with a plant or a tree, all leading to alignment. And the trunk and branches and the system of nourishment, it's called savia in Spanish. That translates into English as lifeblood. Well, what's the lifeblood of any organization? It's people. And so that leads to empowerment. And then the accountability part is the actual leaf and fruit. That fig tree in my backyard only knows how to be a fig tree. That's its accountability, to grow fig leaves that then turn into fig fruit, that in the middle of it, it's not only just sustenance for humans and animals, but there are seeds that can then be scattered for future growth that finally leads to this fulfillment, this environment that's nurturing, that allows that plant or that person in a company culture to grow into their full potential. And those that do bear the most fruit and have the opportunity, and I'll say responsibility, to scatter their seeds to help others along their growth journey.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And that's a great way of looking at it too, because it's so important, you know, to have that bond within your group, and to understand the concept of it's not just about making a profit. It goes deeper, you know.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people lose concept of the importance. You know, they look at the business and they're looking at the profits, you know, and the sales, and sometimes you need to take a step back and look at the people, and as a leader, You know, it's so important to, you know, we had talked about this earlier, that as a leader, you know, people sometimes look at you as more than just a leader. They can look at you as their mentor. You know, you're not just a boss, you know, and the difference between a boss and a leader. And I love that, because, you know, a boss is someone you have to listen to. But when you have a leader, that's someone you look up to, and that's someone you can learn from and grow. And then you see the seeds and you see the growth, and it's two different concepts, you know? So that concept of I'm the boss, you know, could actually work in a negative way, where the concept of being a leader, you might be the boss, but I'm your leader, and, you know, and you focus it on a different way. And I like that. And, you know, and in the business world, you know, how do you feel the importance, you know, where do you see leadership going, and where do you think it should be in today's society?
Yeah. First of all, I never allowed anybody that worked with me, not for me, with me, to call me a boss. I said, if you want to call me anything, you can call me your leader, because that's a title I have to earn every single day with how I speak and act and lead, versus boss is a title on a business card. And if you truly are a boss, it won't be your title very long, because that is not where the world is going. And so I grew up within kind of a more command and control management style. And it was really started by GIs who came back from World War II and, you know, were trained militarily. And then they got into the business world and they used some of those same techniques that worked for them in the military. And it worked for a long time in the working world, but now today that command and control style no longer serves us. Yeah. People today don't want to be managed and required. They want to be led and inspired.
Yes.
And so the word I'm going to tell you is moving from manager, where someone has to obey you, to a leader, where someone is building a relationship with you based on trust, mm-hmm. to now a legacy builder, which is transformational, where they want to lead like you. And so now you're creating these positive ripple effect that can supplant the tired old command and control style. And I say, all we need to do to put the human back in human resources is love, not the kind of love that's going to get you a quick call from HR and escort out of the building. It's a model which stands for listen, observe, value, and empower. When you listen to someone on a deeper empathetic level and you really connect with them, you're listening to what they're saying, but also what they're not saying. So often people, you know, again, of my generation, we weren't really allowed to bring personal stuff at work. Yeah. It was kind of like, keep that weak crap out of here. Just keep your nose to the grindstone, get results quarter by quarter, you know, and you'll get, maybe if, you know, you do a good job, you'll get promoted. Well, you get promoted by being a good doer, and then you get promoted into being a manager. Now you're managing people, projects, deadlines, budgets, metrics of performance, and all that kind of stuff. And then you really, you know, get better at it and start to build trust and relationships. You become a leader. And then, as I mentioned, a legacy builder by being the leader others want to be like. So listening is the first step in the love model. Observing is a second one. You know, we all need to feel seen and heard, and going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs and just being a human being, right? Yeah. And we all have feelings. So I don't care what business or industry you were in, we're all in the people business. And until the robots or zombies or ChatGPT takes us away, we're all human beings. Yeah. And if we're in the people business, that means we're in the feelings business.
Yeah.
And so feeling listened to and then observed. And what I mean by that is we all know about the dreaded annual performance appraisal. I hate the word appraisal. It sounds like we're a piece of property or cattle or something. Well, I happen to live in Kansas City, home of the world champion Kansas City Chiefs, and Coach Andy Reid doesn't wait for the end of the season to coach. He's coaching every day on the practice field, in the team rooms, in the film sessions, when game planning, before the game, during the game, halftime, and after the game. So as it relates to your team members, and notice I didn't call them employees. Team members is an important word, because if you are an employee, maybe just somebody who's looking to get a paycheck versus a mm-hmm. team member is someone looking to play a valuable role yes. for the success of a team. So observing and coaching and encouraging in real time. Don't wait. So now that we are listening and we're observing, and again, this is like a four circle Venn diagram. This isn't linear. We have to practice all of this all the time. Next, yeah. we want to feel valued, right? We don't yes. want to just feel like an employee ID number. We want to feel valued as a true member of the team that's vital for the team's success. And so over and above recognition and reward, which is great, as long as it's authentic and as long right. as it's tied back to specific accomplishments mm-hmm. and not just general, like, hey, good job. We want to also give people opportunities to learn and grow. Right. Gallup does the State of the Global Workplace study every year, and they're saying that engagement is a new epidemic, and mm-hmm. we're at historic lows. Only 25% of people in their global study say they're actively engaged. An equal amount, wow. 25%, say they're actively disengaged. Wow. And that means 50% could go either way. So if you want to engage someone, you value them as well. You listen, you observe, you value, and then you empower them. Mm-hmm. You empower them to grow up into their full growth potential. And I liken it to the time when I learned how to ride a bike. Mm-hmm. Like many of us, I started on a trike kind of a few years before the big wheel. then I got a bike. It was a beautiful royal blue Schwinn bike with banana seat and kind of this mag wheel on the back. Mm-hmm. But I had to have training wheels because I wasn't old enough to ride it by myself. Yeah. And I got the hang of riding it with training wheels up and down the street and sidewalks. And I was a daredevil because I knew I couldn't fall because the training wheels kept me balanced.
Right.
Then one Saturday morning, I remember my dad, you know, coming in and saying, hey, it's time to take the training wheels off.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And I was excited, but also equally nervous because I was going to be outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Well, took the training wheels off, got me on the bike and kind of talked to me about how to do it. But then he kind of pushed me down the sidewalk, stayed with me, held on to the seat and one of the handlebars. And yeah. he's coaching me through this process. And he just, you know, says, keep pedals, don't jerk on the handlebars. You want to stay balanced. And then, you know, I taught you how to pull on the brake if you're going to get, you know, going too fast. And right. first couple of times, I think, I don't know how many feet I went, but I fell. And I kind of got a little discouraged. And he was there yeah. to encourage me, pick me up, put me back on the seat and get me back going. And I don't remember how many times it took, but I remember when I got it, that I rode down that sidewalk and kind of came back down the street. And I don't know whose grin was bigger, my dad or myself, but I will tell you, Stacy, that feeling of empowerment that gave me the sense of freedom and autonomy, my neighborhood just got bigger. My world got bigger. Mm-hmm. I lived on that bike in the summer. Yeah. I'd get up and get a bowl of cereal, and after that, I'm on my bike, and I'm going to the swimming pool, or I'm meeting friends somewhere and doing all sorts of adventures.
Yeah.
What if we could harness that sense of empowerment in the workplace? Right. And our team members felt empowered to grow into their purpose and become the very best they can be. There yes. wouldn't be quiet quitting. There would no. be higher levels of engagement. There yes. would be more productivity, higher quality work, and a sense of ownership or stake of ownership in the outcome. Yes. And so that's really where I believe work is starting to go. It's almost as if COVID gave us a bit of a timeout to reflect yeah. deeply on not only what, but who matters most in our lives.
Right.
It was the Sloan School of Management at MIT who did a survey of 34 million people who left the workforce during COVID. Mm-hmm. Remember the Great Resignation?
Yes.
And they asked them a simple question, why? And Stacy, the number one answer by over 10 times more than the second most given answer was toxic work environment. And compensation didn't come up till number 16 on the list.
Really?
It's as if people said, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Either I got COVID myself, or a loved one maybe was hospitalized, or God forbid, someone we know died as a result of it. We were all, you know, sheltered in place. It was a global issue, not just a U.S. issue, not just a Republican or Democrat or male, female, white, whatever. It was a human issue. And we were scared and we were lonely and we were trying to figure out, well, how do we keep our bills getting paid if we're no longer able to go into the office? And it was a tough time on all of us. And I think it's all given us some scars that say we remember and we don't want to go back to what we left before. I want something better. I want to be more purposeful. A recent study by Deloitte just came out and said among millennials and Gen Z, almost 90% say they want purpose in their work. They don't want to just clock in, clock out, get paid every other week and work for the weekend. They 100%. Want to work for a company that's purposeful, that's aligned with what they feel their purpose may be. And so that's where I believe it's going. And we just have to, you know, senior leaders have to unlearn behaviors that no longer serve themselves and their organization. And they need to be humble enough to admit that they need to lead differently in this new world of work.
And I've seen that many times. I've seen that a lot, actually, that you have leaders who have been in the leadership role for many years, and they're stuck on their old ways. And the world is changing. People are changing. You have new generations coming in with different thought of mind. And those people are still doing things like they did 20 years ago, and it's no longer effective. And then they don't understand when they're getting the negative results and they're not getting the results that they anticipated. They're saying, why? I don't get it. I don't understand. But the world is changing and people are changing and the thought process of these people are changing. But one thing everyone always is, it's always been the same. Everyone wants to be valued. Everyone wants to be appreciated. Everyone wants to feel like they're doing it for a reason. And, you know, everyone wants to get out of bed and they have a job, but they feel good. They want to get out of bed knowing they have a job that they love, that they feel like they're accomplishing something and that has meaning to it. And you don't have that, you know, that's when your mentality goes downhill. And when you do have a toxic work environment, it's terrible because people don't even want to be there. They're just there for the paycheck. And they don't care about the company. They don't care about the people around them. They're just dragging their feet every day because they need the money to survive. And that's not what you want. That's not how a business is going to thrive. But like you said, you know, I agree 100% with you. And, you know, do you see anything else in the workforce that you feel people really need to pay attention to? Because I do feel that we do still have a lot of leaders in this world that are still thinking from way back when, and they're not really focusing on the changes. Because, and even when you were talking, I thought to myself, oh, you know what? When we were in COVID and people said, wear a mask, how many people rebelled and didn't want to wear a mask? When people were told to get, you know, vaccinations, people didn't want to get vaccinations because they were told to get vaccinations. Maybe if the approach was different, maybe if the explanations were different, maybe if people said things differently and were more humble and sincere and caring about it, maybe we would have had a different reaction and people wouldn't have been so, you know, what's the word? They, you know,
rebellious.
Yes, rebellious.
I think the key for me is, and what I'm starting to see a lot more of, and I'm part of this great global organization called Conscious Capitalism, Inc. And it's based on a book that was co-written by a guy named John Mackey, who was the co-founder and CEO of Whole Foods, and a guy named Raj Sisodia, who is an academic. And it's a wonderful, tome about their mission, which is elevating humanity through business. So if you think about a lot of the challenges we have in this world, governments have proven ineffective of getting after it. Religious organizations and nonprofits can only do so much, but businesses actually have the resources to help make positive, lasting changes in the world. And I think about a great brand like Patagonia, which has been in the news a lot in the last few years, and does a wonderful job, not just selling outdoor gear, but their mission is, they say, we're in business to save our home planet. Not we're in business to sell more outdoor gear, right?
Right.
And so that's what drives them. And so think about their four stakeholders, their team members, their customers, their business partners, and their communities. Most people forget about that fourth stakeholder.
Yes.
But that has become so much more important. And it's given people who are the team members a sense of purpose. Don't I love working for a company that cares about more than just profits? Because it's not purpose or profit. It's purpose and profit.
Right.
Patagonia is a wildly profitable company. And they have wonderful programs, such as a recycling program. So instead of, you know, getting you to buy a new outdoor jacket, they're like, we can fix yours, right? And so they want to be, you know, carbon neutral in everything they do. So if they take something out of the ground, they want to put something back into it. Wouldn't that be inspiring for team members?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure all of the outdoor companies from REI to North Face to Patagonia, et cetera, make quality products. But if you're a customer now, might that be the tiebreaker that gets you to buy their brand instead of somebody else's and recommend them to others, which is the most sincere and most productive form of marketing there is. And now you think about your business partners, whether you're publicly traded or it's not just your financial partners, but anyone in your business ecosystem. It could be your suppliers. It could be your distributors. It could be your advertising agency partners. It could be whomever in your ecosystem. Wouldn't they want to support you in what you're doing?
Right.
And then your communities. They're not maybe able to buy your products, but maybe with the profitability and the resources and manpower you can provide, you can make a difference in your local community, in a broader sense, and even in the world. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what's inspiring, is there are organizations out there like Conscious Capitalism who believe in the value of capitalism at its highest form, not as it's related to just making bottom line profits, but consciously doing so in a way that makes all four of those stakeholders better.
Yes. It seems like we really have to get, you know, it's not just being a boss, it's being a leader who wants to have positive change within their company. And, you know, when you have companies that are just focusing on the products, is there any way to change them? You know, is there any way to, you know, eye openers that are used to make these leaders, you know, realize that it's not just about profit, it's about the cause.
Yeah. Well, a lot of coaches now are getting trained and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of leadership and development budgets are getting cut. And so it's difficult, and specifically at the highest levels. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some fantastic leaders in all, you know, sizes and shapes of companies that are doing great work already. And there are others that are open to it and just need the help. But unfortunately, there are several that are just stuck in the mud and they're not really willing to change. One thing I've learned in over 20 years in C-suite is there's a spectrum from kind of arrogance to ignorance.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are arrogant thinking they know it all. And sometimes they're ignorant and they don't know how to improve.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And they're just happy that they have that C title next to their name and their salary and perks. And they feel like they worked so hard to get there. And I'm sure they did. But what I do know, Stacy, is the best leaders are lifelong learners. They're looking to get better every single day.
Yes.
And a big fan of James Clear and the book Atomic Habits. And his simple method is like, just make 1% improvement every single day.
Yes.
And I think then over time, you can bust down the old paradigms like the command and control style of management and learn how to be a more humanistic, empathetic leader.
Yeah.
Because I believe we're all good at our heart, those of us with families. I mean, you wouldn't lead like that at home, right?
Right.
Or it wouldn't last very long, my household. But you tend to have the mindset that I've got to be somebody else at work. I've got to put on the suit of armor, and I can't be vulnerable, and I've got to just be stoic. And you know, it's changing. You know, to me, you know, I'm a big believer in diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we talk about DEI, and we should. But you think about it, Stacey, diversity just gets us in the door. That's not bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Equity gives us an equal voice, better yet. Inclusivity gives us a seat at the table. That's awesome. But if we don't feel like we belong, we're most likely not going to feel psychologically safe enough to give and be vulnerable enough to give our very best.
Yes.
And so I look at culture as a word, and not a bad word, but I think oftentimes it's misunderstood and it's thrown around a lot. But mm-hmm. to me, as I think about it, a culture is a place someone may feel merely a part of. Not bad, but a community is a place someone feels they belong in.
Yes.
Notice the word feels in both of those sentences. Because again, if we're in the people business, as I mentioned, we're also in the feelings business. And it was the late, great poet Maya Angelou who said, "I've learned that people will forget what you've said. People will forget what you've done. But mm-hmm. people will never forget how you made them feel."
Right.
Now, you want to be a leader that someone willfully follows and then attain a higher level by being a living legacy builder, by being the kind of leader others want to be like. And to me, that's what's going to change. If we can get more people to do that, then over time, I think the old guard will age out.
Yeah.
And a new form of leadership will bubble up. So when I talk about the purposeful growth revolution, mm-hmm. most revolutions bubble up from the people, right?
Yes, they do.
And so now we're hearing millennials and Gen Z saying, we don't want to be managed like that. We want to be led and inspired like this. And if they're not, they're going to bounce. They're going to go somewhere else. And now you want to hit an executive where, you know, it hurts. It's on the P&L when they look at their labor line and say it's one of the bigger line items, if not the biggest line item on a P&L. And you know how much it costs to, you know, recruit and hire and train a new person?
Yes.
And what about the lost opportunity cost of the person while they're being backfilled? You know, the work's not getting done, or it's being, you know, done by two or three other people to fill in. And now maybe they're not able to keep their eye on the ball of their own jobs. And they're probably not getting paid anymore, so they're not real happy. So it just has a spiral effect. And so executives, you know, who maybe aren't moved by their heart, certainly can be moved by their wallet.
Yeah.
And I don't care how you get there, just get there. Because we want the world of work to be a wonderful experience for everybody. Hey, work is work. It's never supposed to be easy, but it can be satisfying. It can be fulfilling if you're doing something you love, if you feel listened to, you're observed with frequent feedback and encouragement and even critique, and you're valued as a member of the team and you're empowered to be your best. Again, putting that love into the workplace is what's missing, and it's starting to change.
Yes, it definitely is starting to change. I see the change. I see our younger generations coming in, and they have a totally different mentality, and they want different things, and they look at the world and they want to save the planet and they want to do good for the, you know, for the people around them. And they look at life completely different than when we grew up. You know, it was a very mentality. So you do see the change. So you do know that change, you know, will snowball. The snowball effect is starting to take place, and eventually it will hit all areas. And there are some companies that are, you know, have really grasped it a lot quicker than others. But I think eventually we're going to see a lot of change in the next decade, especially.
Yeah, no, you're dead on. I have 26 and a half year old twin daughters, and I can guarantee you their expectation for work is much different than what it was in my day, which was much more linear. And it was, you know, get good grades, get a job, get promoted, get married, have a few kids, maybe put a little money away for college. And then somewhere in the, around the age of 65, ride off into the sunset. Well, it's not like that anymore. It's much more fluid. And and you know, young people today, it's not about work-life balance, which we were all taught. And I think it's a myth. It's more about life, work, purpose.
Yeah.
See the difference?
And so
there are people that are, you know, that are saying, look, I'll take less money to be in a job where I feel like I'm making a difference and it's meaningful to my life instead of just chasing a paycheck.
Right.
And I think that's really cool because that is going to help us change this tired old paradigm as well as help improve the world around us through these new young mindsets that are changing the importance and value of work. And I'm excited that we're in this age finally.
I am too. And I do see the changes. I love how you put life, work, purpose. That was the first time I ever heard that concept, but I love it. I like having it, you know, not just, you know, taking away that word balance. We all have to be balanced, you know, in life or it's functional well, but purpose, you know, everyone has to feel like they have a purpose in life, because if you don't, you feel lost in life. You don't know what direction to go to. And that balance won't be there if you don't have purpose.
Now you're dead on. And so it's, we were talking earlier, this idea of balance, don't get me wrong. I'm not against it at all. As a matter of fact, it fits right into my narrative, which is we're whole people. Mm-hmm. And we need to be comfortable bringing our whole self to work. So I feel like there are four realms of service, and we should start with who, not why. Simon Sinek was famous for the TED talk that led to a book all about Start With Why. Most people have heard of it. He's called it his magic circle, and it's kind of a bullseye, if you will, concentric circle approach, where he's like, start with why. People want to know why you do what you do before they care how you do it or even what you do. And I buy into that to a point, except where I feel like we should actually start with who, and specifically who we serve.
We
think about that, and four realms of service pop into my brain. Again, like a four circle Venn diagram, they're all intertwined and they're all revolving around purposeful growth. And there's spiritual, there's personal, there's relational, and there's professional.
Yes.
Like a spiritual person such as myself wouldn't say, all right, God, it's been great to see you on Sunday. I got to go to work on Monday. I'll see you next week, right? It doesn't work that way, right? And then, you know, if we're not taking care of ourselves, our mind, body, spirit, and soul, we're no good to the other three realms of service. Our relationships may fall, or we're not as well, you know, not doing as well at work. We might get fired, or maybe we're going through a medical issue and we're in a more spiritual realm, or maybe we're caring for aging parents or whatever. We're whole people, and we need to have that North Star, or I should say in my model, the epicenter of purposeful growth, like knowing who you are, knowing what you want, knowing what lights you up, knowing what gives you meaning or purpose in your life and work is what's going to keep you grounded and help you make improvements in each of those realms of service. And those realms of service then lead you to your why, which is your, you know, purpose and motivation that then leads you to your how. Not only how you're uniquely gifted, and we all are uniquely gifted in different ways, but how are you going to invest yourself, your time, your talents, your treasures, and your triumphs and travails, which are your experiences. And I liken that to mentorship that leads you to your what. What are your plans and actions? What are you going to do with all of that? And so for me, that's the model that I write about in my book and that I teach about, because I really feel like it's a more well-balanced higher power of fours concept than the rule of threes. Remember, I mentioned that I used to lead with the rule of threes until I found the idea of fulfillment. So I now call it the higher power of fours, because I got to thinking, wait a minute, there are four seasons, not three. There are four directions, not three. There are four chambers to the human heart, not three.
Yes,
there are four elements to an atom, not three, source of all life. And I can go on and on with this foreplay, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I tend to look at things that oftentimes are seen in threes, and I find a fourth element that may be hidden. And I try to look at it as something that's more holistic. So I call it the higher power of fours. So,
yeah.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I like that. I love that. You know, I think that's a great, your way of thinking is so unique, and it's so effective, because if people put into play what you're teaching right now, you know, I think the world could change for the better of good in a full speed ahead mode, you know, if everyone took that approach, you know. And I think we will get there at, you know, in time. But, you know, it is so important. Everything you said today is very important. We have to, you know, we have to lead, you know, and we have to really, you know, take everything into aspect in our lives, and not just do things just because, you know, we have to, but do things because we feel purpose, you know, and fulfillment. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at it that way, it, you know, life even feels better when you say it that way. It feels more positive. If it, you know, you get more energetic and more enthusiastic when you think in that way also. It's a great mindset.
Yeah, it really does. And mindset's so important. So we talk about the personal realm of service, you know, it's mental and emotional health, it's physical health, and it's, you know, spiritual health. And so, mm-hmm. you know, your mind can control your body, right? And it can make you do things that are amazing, but it can also keep you from doing things you were called to do.
Right.
And I call it FUD. Sometimes we get stuck in the FUD.
Yeah.
And it's an acronym that stands for fear, uncertainty, doubt, and delay.
I like and that.
The good news is, I mean, you have no idea what kind of FUD I went through to get this book written. Okay. But I came up with the anecdote, and this is in one of my chapters, and it's faith can overcome fear.
I like that.
Hope can overcome uncertainty. Belief can overcome doubt, and action, indeed purposeful action, not just action like doing stuff like chicken with your head cut off, but purposeful action can overcome the paralysis of delay. And so often, many of us feel a tug that we should be doing something, that we're called to do something, and we get afraid, or maybe we're uncertain. Maybe we don't want to give up our less than satisfactory status quo to do something we're called for. Because we all love comfort. But I believe it was someone named Gina Militia who said, a comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there.
Yeah.
So we know that faith can overcome fear, hope can overcome uncertainty, belief can overcome doubt, and action, indeed purposeful action, can overcome the paralysis of delay in helping us become who we were created to be in growing up into our purpose. And why I call it the purposeful growth revolution is because it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm some, you know, Pied Piper who's leading it all by myself. I'm just taking and channeling the thoughts that were, I believe, given to me based on that epiphany I share with you at the top of the show, and being obedient and faithful and fulfilling that calling. And so I invite people to pick up a copy of my book. It's now, if you're not a physical book reader, it's now available as an audio book. And if you go to my website, markamears.com, at the top, you'll see a free purposeful growth self-assessment. It takes you maybe 5 or 6 minutes to complete. And once you're done, you can immediately download a customized PDF with a report based on your scores and some what I call seeds for growth from me. So I invite people to check out the website and see the four ways to grow with me. It's the book, it's keynote speaking, it's consulting. And then also I'm working on a pretty cool e-learning program or training that will allow someone to find and fulfill their purpose in both their life and their work. And then also hit me up on LinkedIn and connect with me so we can get to know one another and I can learn from you. I don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you what, I enjoy meeting people and sharing, you know, stories and helping each other along our respective growth journeys.
Yes, definitely. Now, when you do consulting, can you do it on Zoom? People can sign up and have consulting with you, or do you do it one-on-one in person?
Yeah, I mean, a little of both. And I'm really just getting started in this area. And I've already had people reach out to me, one gentleman in Houston, Texas, and some from different parts of the country. So yeah, Zoom's fine. And we can tailor a program that fits your particular needs. So this is, you know, something I felt called to do. I'm living into my purpose statement. I don't want to just make money and retire. I want to make a difference and inspire. So my goal is to inspire you and then hopefully help you see the importance of doing likewise and what I call paying it backward. And I'll finish with this because I think it's really important, Stacey, is I call it paying it backward. And you can probably tell words matter to me. Yes. And most people say, well, Mark, isn't it pay it forward? I said, well, no, because not only am I a growth junkie and I love growth in all of its forms, personal, relational, professional, and spiritual, but I'm a Starbucks junkie. And so when I go through the drive-through line at Starbucks, I will pay for the car behind me. I can't pay for the car in front of me. They've already gone. And when I get to the window, I'll tell the team member at Starbucks, I'll just tell them, you know, tell them, God bless you. Your debt has been paid. And they're like, oh, that's beautiful. And I'll drive away and I'll say a silent prayer for that person. They don't know me. I don't know them. I have no idea what's going on in their day. But I got to believe that in that moment, they feel blessed by not just a cup of coffee or two, but that someone actually gave them a blessing. Someone thought of them. Someone valued them in that moment. Yes. And then I'm reminded of the law of reciprocity, which is a thing. And it basically says that when someone does something nice for you, you have a deep-seated urge to do something nice for someone else, and oftentimes in greater measure. So I've heard that it creates a chain reaction of cars down the road that pay for the car behind them and so on and so forth. Yeah. So then you think about all the people, the ripple effect, not just that person at Starbucks who got a smile on their face because they're part of this, but the person in that car and whoever's in their car with them, whoever's at the office when they get there, has said, you won't believe what happened to me today. The people behind them, and on and on and on. And that's not a random act of kindness. And I'm not against them. You hear about that term all the time. And usually you hear about that during the holidays when people are feeling charitable. I'm calling it an intentional act of kindness because I do it every time. And I've been doing it for a number of years. And I don't say that to, you know, polish my crown. I say it to inspire others that they can do little things like that each day. Because they see the one thing I know, and I don't care what your gender is, what your age is, what your race, creed, color, religious affiliation, political bent, or sexual orientation or preferences, or even what your time zone is. Here's what I do know. All of us are given 24 hours in a given day. Yes. None of us have one more minute or one less minute, but we all have a choice in how we use that 24 hours. And if you wake up and make a conscious choice to be a blessing to someone else, I'm telling you, you'll have opportunities throughout the day if you're looking for them. And not only are you open-minded, but you're open-hearted. Yes. And then I'll tell you, not only the person that you're doing something nice for, you will drive away or walk away being blessed. And it'll probably have even greater impact on you and your day. And then you're going to kind of want to keep doing more of it because it's kind of like addictive. And that also will help change the world. We need more kindness in the world. There's a lot of division in our country and indeed the whole world.
Yes.
But love can bring us together.
100%.
And love, regardless of, again, whether you're religious or spiritual or not, I believe most people feel is the connective tissue that binds us all together on this earth. Yes. So just being a little more loving, a little more kind, a little more gentle, each day we'll have that ripple effect and will give us the life that we want and deserve, and it will help others along their growth journey.
That is so beautifully said and so true. There's many times I've walked by someone, I've just given them a sporadic compliment, and their face would light up, and they would go from grin side to side. They'd have a big grin on their face just because I complimented them maybe on their shirt or something, you know, to that effect. And it makes a difference when someone is kind to someone else and you show an act of kindness. It goes a long way. And it does. It makes that person feel good, and it makes that person want to do good for somebody else. Now, if you had to take today everything we talked about and you wanted to emphasize on a couple important aspects, what would you like to get across to the listeners today?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground. And I think, you know, something new that I'll say is there was a great movie called Glenn Ross, maybe back in the 90s, with Alec Baldwin and Jack Lemmon. And it was really an all-star cast. And Alec Baldwin was set as the sales leader for this kind of telemarketing firm that was dialing for people to buy property. And he was in their office one day, he was up at a dry erase board, and he writes big letters, ABC. And he points at it and he says, always be closing, right? And sales, you know, is all about closing, right?
Yes.
And only closers get coffee, by the way, as he says to Jack Lemmon, who's standing by the coffee machine, clearly not meeting his you know, objectives or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I changed that word C of closing, Stacy, to always be curious.
I like that.
Ask the question behind the question.
Yes.
And then the question after that. Again, yes. My daughters now are 26 and a half years old, but I remember when they were young and they were asking why.
Yeah.
And then why after that? And then why after that? And it was annoying, but they were curious. And I think we all need to have that vulnerability to be curious like a child. And
100%.
Ask the question behind the question. And then all of a sudden, things will open up to you. It was Einstein who even said, if you want to know anything, look to nature. And so the book, The Purposeful Growth Revolution, Four Ways to Grow from Leader to Legacy Builder, is actually a playbook that people can follow along their own purposeful growth journey. And in doing so, help scatter seeds to help others along theirs.
And where can people find your book?
It's on Amazon. And again, it's available as a paperback, a hardcover, a Kindle ebook, and now as an audiobook. And so those who are not into reading books can listen to that and hopefully get value out of the lessons that I employ based on 30 some years in corporate America, but also observations of those I admire, research that backs up my thesis, as well as subject matter experts that can go deeper. So I call it a curated reading experience. It's not the kind of, you know, little paperback you can get on a plane and, you know,
right,
finish it by the time you land. It's a tome, but it's also designed to be something you can come back to at different seasons of your life. And there'll be some sections that'll have more relevance and value to you today versus others may have relevance to you at some point in the future. But I think you need to see how it all fits together. And that's what I've tried to curate, is that whole kind of from this to that. Each chapter starts with that. So it's connecting the dots. And it goes from the four sections, starting with cultivating your field for purposeful growth. I live here in Kansas, and we don't just rush out and plant seeds in the field. We cultivate the field to get it ready. So it's all about why purpose matters and how purposeful growth can be more satisfying, more fulfilling. And then the second section is planting your seeds for purposeful self, which is about doing the inner work necessary to get you ready for growth. And then the third section is the meatier one, and that's growing you forward for purposeful work, which is where the LEAF growth model comes in. Leadership, engagement, accountability, and fulfillment, all revolving around purposeful growth. And the final section is about scattering your seeds for purposeful life, helping others along their growth journey and making the world a better place.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This has been amazing. Tell everybody once again your website so they know where to go.
Yeah, thank you, Stacey. It's Mark A. Mears, M-E-A-R-S. Make sure you put the A for Alan. I couldn't get markmears.com. So it's markamears.com. And then connect with me on LinkedIn. And I'll look forward to making many new friends.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Mark. I thank you so much for coming on. You have been an inspiration to myself. Many of the things you said today, I just resonated with, and you just brought a lot of things to my mind that I didn't really think about, or just didn't think about it lately. And, you know, you really have a great way of looking at things. And I love the way, you know, you help people see how to do things in a different, more productive manner that could have a humongous outcome at the end if done properly, and to do everything with purpose and not think so much about the dollar sign, but think about the people, their feelings, the purpose behind it, and how it's going to benefit us as a whole, our world, our country, the people around us, our community, and so forth. So you have a beautiful message, and I can't wait to read your book, and I'm very excited to. And I thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, Mark, for being here.
My pleasure, Stacy. It was a great conversation. I enjoyed getting to meet you and learning about your inspirational story as well. So keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate the platform. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.